Welcome to this time next year's virtual summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the incredible Mr. Justin Late. Justin, why don't you take it from here?
Thanks very much, Tanya. Today we're going to have a look and we're going to talk about building successful virtual teams. You know, as we are here at the end of the year and we're looking forward into the next, as many of us are either mid-sized businesses or small businesses, for us to be successful, we are going to need people. We're going to need partners and we're going to need specialists in our business for different aspects of our business that they could do on behalf of us. You know, technology has allowed us to start building teams beyond any physical location. So virtual workers are becoming more and more prevalent, and it is a little gold nugget for small businesses. Irrespective of which industry you're in, a virtual assistant or a VA as they're known, and I actually would like to also refer to them as remote specialists, because we have this huge pool out there of resources that we can tap, are absolutely invaluable. If we think of the different kinds, for example, you know, different kinds of people that we want to engage in our business, the list is extremely long. If we think just off the top of your mind, you know, your CPA, your bookkeeper, those are, your CPA could be an onshore virtual person, bookkeeper could be onshore or offshore. Other tasks we can think of or of offloading are things like online research, data entry, lead generation. You know, those are just a few to mention. Search engine optimization, website content work, the list just goes on and on. And then it becomes even more interesting if you think about having a book editor or a ghostwriter in a market where rates are much lower and affordable to smaller businesses. Not even to mention a huge pool of engineers that you can tap if you are in the space of designing a new product. The list goes on and on. So as business owners, we have to make some choices. We have our offshore resources that we can invoke, and there are offshore resources. First, we're going to just look a little bit at offshore resources. Offshore resources clearly are not within the contiguous United States, right? They're in other markets, which have, to a for large extent, more competitive rates for small businesses to take advantage of. It is quite common to see rates between $3, starting off at $3 an hour, up to $20 an hour for mid-level resources. With the average, I would say closer to $5 to $7 an hour for those mid-level resources. And when I refer to mid-level resources, we're mostly referring to data entry, research work, even some search engine optimization work sort of falls within that realm. If we go more to the engineering space, it gets closer to the $20 an hour range. That is quite affordable for a small business to tap that extra resource for several hours a week and offload some of that work over, right? My first example I want to share with you is my title researcher. I'm a real estate agent here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. You can read more about some of my services at Real Estate 817, or our number here is 855-817-8171. My real estate title researcher is in India. He's a phenomenal chap. At this point of time, he's billing at $3.33 per hour. He goes into many of the county databases around the country and collects certain pertinent information that I use for direct mail. It is a very time-consuming task, but definitely a task that is very valuable to my business. He then goes in and he digs into the liens of different properties, for example. So, you know, there's quite a a level of technical know-how beyond that. And this is simply an example, really. But when I set him up as one of my workers, you know, you have to go through a process to get them onboarded. You know, first of all, on a high level, and we'll dig a little deeper into this a little later, but on a high level, we definitely need a process guide. So a process guide could be a document with screenshots, right? It could also be, and I'm a great fan of it though, of a good Visio workflow. For some tasks and some products, it actually works to have a workflow. Others are more checkbox orientated, right? It just depends on the kind of project that you're putting together. Since you will be working with these workers on a consistent basis, having some shared document space is definitely something to look at. It could be Dropbox, it could be SharePoint, Office 365, OneDrive, but a place where both of you can easily get to documents and share documents. And of course, you have to be crystal clear with what the SLA is. You have a service level agreement with this worker. They have to know what the expectation is, what they have to deliver, and by when they have to deliver it. Now, that is really true even for a team that's physically close to you, right? Everybody needs to be clear on what they have to do and by when they have to deliver it. But when resources are virtual, it becomes so much more important, really, to have those clear SLAs defined. You know, and so what we have looked at here to a large extent has been in the real estate space. And in my real estate business, for the most part, we've practiced here in Dallas-Fort Worth. And as it stands currently, we have an offer for any homeowner selling their homes before January 31st. We would list their home for sale for 1.5% commission rate. So once again, just reach out and give us the coupon code PSA, and you can do so through realestate817.com. So that was an example within the real estate space. Now let's move on to an example somewhere else, language. Language is a pivotal aspect when we go and look for resources in other countries, right? But it can also, we have to be careful how we look at it. And what I mean by that, when you interview some of these resources, we always try to do something like a Skype meeting where you can physically see them and physically hear them. There is a little bit of a caution to be aware of. Many of these resources are technically extremely skilled, but because they don't speak your language, it might not come across that they are as skilled. And that's simply a perception shift that you have to put yourself into, because they might not be skilled with the verbal language, but if they can provide the end product to you in the written English at a level that you are comfortable with or better, then you get the end result still. So when you go through the interview process, be very conscious of language. In some of these countries, you'll have no language barrier. One of my favorite places to look at for resources is the Philippines. You know, there has been a very large American influence there over the years. So that aspect definitely, for me personally, is a place I enjoy recruiting in. In one of the projects several years ago, I worked on a project to create a electronic circuit board for children to learn electronics. I come from an electronic background myself, though. So on a high level, I understood what I wanted, but I didn't necessarily have all the technical details. So for those of you who are entrepreneurs out there, listen closely. In many of these markets, there are phenomenal electronic engineers sitting and waiting to be recruited. I found a resource. He was based in China. I gave him very high level instructions on what I wanted the circuit board to do. I did not have all the technical details. I knew that I'm leaving up a lot of creative freedom for him so that he can fill in the blanks. He knew which outputs I wanted. He knew which inputs were going on. In between, he had the creative freedom. His spoken language was challenging, but his written English was perfect, and he delivered the product on time, actually early, a little bit early. So do not veer away from offshore resources. They are absolutely a gold mine. And learning a little bit about their culture as you look into some of these markets which you are looking at recruiting in will also give you a better background, and we'll dig a little bit deeper into cultures just a little bit later. But make sure that you are comfortable with the culture which you are recruiting in. There's definitely a misconception about quality, and I want to spend a little bit of time on that. As you can hear from my accent, I didn't grow up in America. I'm originally from South Africa myself. But I consider myself more American, and at this point of time, more Texan than anything else, since I've lived here a majority of my life. But we, as Americans especially, we do have a very high pride of the quality of work that we deliver. And when we look for resources and we look for partners beyond the boundaries of the United States, there's sometimes a misconception of quality. And it truly is a misconception. And that's why I just want to raise awareness to it. Because beyond the borders of the United States, there is a pool of phenomenal resources that we can take advantage of. And do not for a moment think that the quality of the product you will receive is any more or less than what is made in the USA. So I also want to share with you some of the companies that I have used to recruit these resources with. My favorite company is called Upwork.com. They used to be called Odesk. One of the reasons why I enjoy using them as a recruiting point is for a lot that they manage the whole process from contract signing with, for actually even before that, from doing interviews, it has a workflow for that. From getting your contract signed with the employee, they have a workflow for that. Then managing the project from beginning to end, they have a beautiful process that you can manage that contract in. And then the best part ever, you can see screenshots as your remote worker is working. So they log on to the system and they will start working. And as the time ticks, you can see different times that they are actually working and executing and different screens they move to. Even for onshore resources, that is actually an invaluable piece of software to have. So we dug into the offshore space just a bit. But as always, we all have onshore virtual resources too. And onshore virtual resources is, for most of us, where we start working with people that are not located within our own city. For many years, my CPA used to be in Pennsylvania. And I used to work cross-state with my CPA for many years before I decided to find someone local. You know, a good lawyer you could actually find in the same manner too, depending on what kind of law they practice, whether they are state bound or not. The biggest benefit that we find with onshore resources is that common language and that common culture, even though they are remote. Some things are easier for employers when they are within the same geographic space. We work under the same laws. We work within the same systems. It makes certain things easier, but it also makes them a bit more expensive. as small businesses, you know, there's that little thin line that we walk. We want to use resources in our own country. But sometimes we do realize that they do come at higher rates. And then there's that little balance that we have to make a decision on between using a lower rate resource against using someone in our own boundaries. There are some industries that for sure you will have to look at onshore resources as opposed to offshore resources. One of those examples clearly of if your business has any federal contracts, right? Then you will most likely have to work with onshore resources for the most of the tasks that you're doing. By the same token, if you're in the banking industry, that will most likely fall within the same space, that local resources would serve you better. That being said, as I went through the process of learning more of offshore resources, I was surprised how many of them, especially within the real estate industry, had an in-depth knowledge of American tax liens, for example. So they are leveraged by multiple organizations for skill sets that are very American specific. I'm an author of several books, and one of my books are 15 Ways to Sell a Home for More Money Fast, right? And in one of the books that I was writing, I used a local resource, local in the sense of she was in the United States, as my editor. She was located in Illinois, while I was located in Texas. Over the span of about 9 months, we worked on crafting one of the books that I published. She was one of the best ghostwriters and editors I have ever come across. Phenomenal English, of course. And having said that, the fact that that resource came from the US, I know I can get that same quality abroad. But there were certain nuances to writing that was just more prone to being a good fit for a local remote resource. You know, especially when it gets to language, when we talk about content writing for webcasts, for example, or writing a book, or content that are going to be read by the audience within your own country, then sometimes it is a good choice to choose a local remote worker. This specific resource was a single mother working from home. She had multiple contracts that she was fulfilling with multiple authors, and it was an amazing experience for me that 9 months later we were able to take that book and published it. You also have that benefit that you're familiar with their culture and familiar with their language, which is definitely a bonus. For local onshore resources, there's two websites I can recommend if you want to look at resources within the United States, but they also have some abroad. One of them is freelancer.com, and the other one's guru.com. Both of those websites have a vast selection of local freelancers that you can choose from if you would like to choose an onshore virtual partner. So spending a little bit of time here on the onboarding process. First of all, as I mentioned earlier, we want to make sure that we interview our candidates with a camera and a Skype session or some conferencing session so that we can hear them speak, see their expressions, have discussions just like we would within a normal interview scenario. What I often am more interested in is what they have done before. Because many people, whether I interview for a remote person or a on-site person, they have skills beyond what's on the surface. Often you would talk to someone and you would find out that they have actually built amazing things prior to their existing position. And that is an expression of capabilities, capabilities that you as a business owner can tap with this resource. And later on, possibly give them bigger responsibilities than what you start off with. I touched on this a little bit earlier, and I just want to go into a little bit more detail on it. So when I onboard a new virtual worker, we have to spend time and develop a process guide. Process guide will be the backbone of their tasks. How they execute it, when they execute it, and what is the if-then conditions of the work that you are providing them so that they can understand which decision trees to follow based on how you do your business. Spending time having a written guide with screenshots and verbal descriptions definitely carries a lot of weight. But you are going to find certain tasks will value quite a lot by adding a Visio diagram to it. These workflows that we create in Visio sometimes can be quite huge. But to the remote worker, if they work while you're sleeping, it is that extra level of support they have to pull out a document and see how you would have done something while you're sleeping. So that initial investment of building a thorough document is critical. The other aspect that I like to add to a process guide is a OneNote checklist. OneNote being part of Office 365, I use OneNote quite thoroughly with my remote workers because I can draw up checklists for tasks that they need to use when they do that certain task. Never forget that something that is simple for you because you've done it several times before, as you offload those tasks to someone that's now brand new to doing it, can be a little bit nerve-wracking for them, especially in the infinite stages of that relationship. Earlier, I mentioned too, making sure that the tools you set up for them are easy. When you share documents across virtual spaces, Dropbox is one of the tools that's really easy for people to share documents, right? I enjoy SharePoint with Office 365 because I can check out a document, work on it, and check it back in without two of us working over each other. There are other ones you can choose to OneDrive, Google Docs, and so forth. But choose one that both of you are comfortable with. If you are comfortable with SharePoint and the worker that you are employing has always worked with Dropbox, consider maybe a learning curve for you instead of them. I just want to again leave you with that reminder of your service level agreement. It is even more important for remote workers to know that they need to know what they need to deliver by when they need to deliver it. Because you will be communicating a little less with them than you would for someone that's physically on your site. But it's making it clear on a constant basis that this work should be finished by that date. The next project should be finished by a different date. We'll make that relationship so much easier. Also remember, many of these remote workers that you'll be working with have multiple clients. You will, in many cases, not be the only client, depending on how many hours you are purchasing of their time. So if you purchase 10 hours a week from a resource, that other 30 hours a week is going to go to someone else. be clear that you know when they're going to work on your time if you don't purchase a full 40 hours from a resource. One of the challenges, of course, is how do we create cohesiveness? How do we build a team across boundaries that are as cohesive as a team that's sitting in a physical war room? The first recommendation I make, and I use this technique all the time, I call it virtual coffee. Virtual coffee is a getting on the phone in a Skype session and simply talking with your remote employee about typical life, everyday things. Ask out about the family. What are they doing in life? What are they planning for? Did they see this on the news? And if shop talk comes in, look at it, deal with it, and then move on to the more casual conversations. Just like you have those casual conversations in a physical office setting, having these virtual conversations is just as important to build that cohesiveness. Find out which kids they have, what their hobbies are, what are they planning for family vacation. Build the relationship. It takes a little bit more work with a virtual worker, but it is just as possible to achieve these successful results as it is to do with workers on a which are located on the physical site. Understand their family and understand their life, because it is so important to understand what is going on in their world. I want to give you this one example in a different business that I am active in. I have a graphic designer. This graphic designer works with me on our Young Living business. This graphic designer is located in India, and she creates a lot of the mailing pieces. So for those of you that don't know what Young Living is, Young Living enables families to use quality essential oils in their homes. If any of you want any more information, please feel free to visit livingoils.us or give me a ring on 855-817-8171. So just to put that in context for you, this resource, when we started working with her, had no idea about this industry. We spent all our virtual coffees talking about a lot of informal things about family, but there was always a component where I shared different views with her of the business. Who's our audience? Who are you designing for? Which mailing lists do we have that I was mailing to at that point of time? So as time went on, she got a better understanding about the business in an informal setting, that she understand much better how to go about designing our mailing pieces for us. A typical virtual coffee could be 20 minutes, three times a week. For others, it could be multiple five-minute conversations during the week. But it helps that virtual worker feel part of something. It helps the virtual worker to feel that they are part of a team. And if you only have one virtual worker, clearly that is achievable. But if you start building a much larger team, you still need to put that investment in to build cohesiveness, because it's the only tool you have in your pocket. So those mailings that we sent out was a phenomenal success. And that campaign, all of those campaigns that we have been running through her, since she got onto the space of understanding what our business was about, was a phenomenal success. Another thing to bear in mind about building cohesiveness is you are going to use Skype quite intensively or other conferencing services. Learn them, learn the tools so that you can use them inside out, so that you can use polls and some of the advanced features to create more interactiveness, and always use cameras. Cameras is a must for any communication with virtual workers. So as we stand here on the end of the year, I really wish all of you the best of luck. Leverage any of the tools that we've discussed. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to me. My number is 855 817-8171. This is Justin Late, realtor and entrepreneur here in Dallas-Fort Worth. Back to you, Tanya.